I often like the way that the Gospels end because they're always somewhat ironic, it seems. So the last line we hear today is he preached good news to the people when we just heard the fact that John tells them the winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So there's the good news. So again, you know, you hope you're not numbered among the chaff, right? But there might be a different aspect to that, in that we all have chaff. And the winnowing that takes place is not one person from another, the saved from the not saved, right? Those who go to heaven, those who go to hell. The chaff might be in us, and the Lord actually uses the winnowing fan to sift through interiorly who we are, and the chaff gets burned. There's an image of this happening. It's called Pentecost. Tongues of fire is the image that descends upon the disciples who are gathered around the Blessed Mother in the upper room, and the fire purifies them for the mission that the Lord has for them. We hear in our gospel today, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. If we're willing to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, it is an implicit, if not explicit, but it's an implicit recognition that we need the fire to purify us. If it were said to you that what needs to happen is we need to put you in a cauldron and melt you down like iron ore so that we can get the impurities out and then re-pour you into the mold that is the image and likeness of God, that would probably be a better image in terms of what this is. The fire of God that so enlivens the person, but at the same time is a fire that seeks to purify, and there can be some pain, some discomfort involved. Today we celebrate also this opening of the Jubilee Year of Mercy, and these images are directly connected with the idea of God's mercy, because God's mercy is not really about everybody deserves a second chance. That's not what that means. God's mercy is about a new reality that is created between us and God, that we are invited to step into. It is God lighting the furnace of his love here on earth in such a way that we can step into that furnace. Just like Daniel is put into the fiery furnace and is not consumed by it. Just like the burning bush, it is the presence of God's almighty power in front of Moses, and yet the bush is not consumed. This image of God's fire, God's love, God's mercy coming down to the earth and inviting us to step into it, which is a different reality than simply having second chances. That's what God's mercy is about. You know, when we were growing up, I might be one of the last who, in my early years, we used the Baltimore Catechism still, the St. Joseph edition with all the pictures. And actually, there was a great image of God's mercy in there and what that meant, because there was a picture of little Johnny down here with a bunch of other people and a picture up here of heaven and the gates are closed. You can't get in. It's Jesus who opens the gates. Before the Christ, before his passion and resurrection, before God's love becomes incarnate and conquers death itself, before that, we had no access to the new reality that is eternity with God, being purified by his love. Before that was the law. In our gospel today, they come to John and they ask, what should we do? And that is the typical question for those concerned with the law, how they are in conformity with it, and how I myself might earn is probably the wrong word, but how I might appropriate to myself the benefits of righteousness. And John tells them, do what you ought to do. In a certain sense, fulfill justice. That is a somewhat lesser law than the law of love. John tells them to go about their business, but simply to fulfill the precepts of right behavior. But then he does say, but that is water. I'm baptizing you with water. This is just the normal way you should be as good people. But this in no way compares to what God is both going to do and call from you. So as we celebrate this Sunday, we should ask ourselves, what is it that we rejoice in? Do we know ourselves to be people who day in and day out rejoice in the new reality that Christ has in fact offered to us? Do we rejoice? Do we even want to rejoice in stepping into the fire of God's love in such a way that we are purified, that the chaff is winnowed out? Do we rejoice? Do we even want to rejoice in such a way, day in and day out, that God's peace is our surety and guards us, as we heard in that second reading? So today, as we offer each other the peace that only comes from Christ, as the priest says, peace be with you, the Lord's peace be with you, and you respond, and with your spirit. In the midst of that, in the midst of this offering of the Eucharist, let us ask the Lord for the fire of his love to be here in such a way that our rejoicing is constant, because we know him who loves us, who has mercy on us, and calls him to himself. If that's the fire that's here, then the peace of the Lord will in fact be ours, and others will ask, where did you get the flame? What must I do to know the same fire?